saying to the hearers, Lord, and to the people that are not saved, Father, that through this message that they would find truth and would find rest in your word, Father. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you live any time for the Lord, you're going to experience some things, and you're not going to handle them the way you thought you'd handle them. I mean, theoretical is one thing, but practical is quite another. And the book of Romans is written, and it's one of the strongest messages to the security of a believer. And in Romans 7, it talks about, it says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? It's the Apostle Paul is talking about a man. He's wretched. He talks about he wants to serve the Lord with his mind, but with the body he's constantly sinning. And he says, O wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from the body of this death? He talks about this body that it's cursed to death. That it's not good for nothing. And for you to use it, never let it use you. Never let it overtake you. And then in verse 8 it says, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And this is, he goes from a man that's in despair and that is battling with his flesh, and there is no hope, to a declaration of victory. That there's victory in it. And you know, in our lives as Christians, you know, sometimes we're going to go through things that we didn't expect to go through. And we have to be prepared and to look to the things that, you know, sometimes people will find themselves where they never thought they'd find themselves. And in the book of Galatians written, and it talks about it, in the book of Galatians chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 1, it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fall, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. See, it talks about a believer that is overtaken. It overtakes him. It constantly dogging him. He's trying to, he's going through something. And this, it talks about a certain Christian, a mature Christian. It says, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering lest thou also be tempted. This designates a spiritual Christian, a Christian that is matured, and he's matured in the Lord. And it says it's a certain mature Christian, not a person that makes a lot of noise. If you've been in church, I've been in churches where you get this Christian up and he's hollering and yelling and amening. That's not a mature Christian. A mature Christian is not a person that knows a lot or has filled their head with a lot of facts. And that's good, you know, fill your head with facts, read and study the Bible. But a mature Christian is not a person that gloats or that a gossiper or a tattletale, one that gets on the phone or on Facebook when some poor old soul has fallen into sin. You know, we have to, they start rumors, or a mature Christian is a Christian that has lived their faith, that's lived their life out through faith, through victory. And it's talking about a spiritual Christian. Someone that is grown in the Lord. Someone that is more mature. For when a person is fallen, for that mature Christian to to go and help him through something he's gone through. And see, this is when a person falls into sin or into something, if you're a weak believer, it's a special temptation. This is when another believer falls around you. It's a time that Satan can use that to drag you down also. Because a weak believer, they have their eyes on man. They have their eyes on people, on vessels of clay. The Bible says that when people put their eyes on people and another Christian falls around them, that is a special time that you too can fall. And we have to be careful. We can fall also. Because we start justifying our actions. And when you see someone doing wrong and you fall into things like that, you become susceptible to falling. And when you try to help someone, you also can fall. And see, so the Bible says, consider yourself also. Be humble. See, did you know a year or two or a year from now that we can, you know, people that think they got it all together, that your marriage could be busted up or you can fall into sin or you can fall away and you know, not go back into your old ways. See, the Bible says to be considering yourself also, lest thou fall also. And it says right here, the thing to acknowledge is there's two differences right here in the book of Galatians. It talks about a man that is overtaken, and ye which are spiritual, considering thyself also, you be tempted. And here's the question. If you fall back into something like that, have you lost your salvation? That's a big issue. A lot of people think that they can lose their salvation. It's because there's a lot of believers out there, a lot of people that they believe that they can lose their salvation. They believe that they can, if they've fallen into something, that they've lost all hope. And that's because they put their eyes on themselves rather than putting their eyes on Christ. And what that has done for them is taken a little bit of their boldness, their victory, and it's caused them to where they're doing things they shouldn't do. I know so many people that have fallen into something. There's a lot of people that live almost their whole life out, and they, all of a sudden you hear that their marriage is breaking up. And then they leave the church and they stop coming to church. Or you know someone that is went back into their old ways, whether it be drinking or smoking or whatever it is. And a lot of people will have a hard time thinking that they can come back. They blame themselves. They say, see, what is the attitude in a person that has fallen? Because they can't accept it. They're looking at themselves that they can't turn back to God. They think that they are a hypocrite if they come back. That God can't forgive their disobedience. And you know, I've seen a lot of people. They live their life, and they go through their life as a believer. They fall into something when someone else has fallen, and they're there. And they there are some people that are real proud, and they never think that nothing can happen to them. And when you have that attitude, sometimes you allow Satan to come in. And when that comes in, I've seen a lot of marriages. I got a whole list of people that I know They think that they could never happen to them. And I see people that have fallen back into drinking. They've been tempted with smoking. They've been, you know, with all these things. And I've seen God bring them out. I've seen God deliver them through another brother that has came in and has took the time necessary to help lead them out. Okay? And I've seen people that are not came back. And it's because sometimes they have in their mind, how can I come back? How can I come back when I've done this thing? And they're drug away with their own flesh, and they start justifying it. Then they start doing these things openly. And they don't care no more, because they think that they've lost their salvation. They've lost their way. And that's an important thing. A lot of people believe that. I've disputed with a lot of people that believe that you can lose your salvation. But I want to go. I want to read something, and it's in Luke 15. I mean, I've always go to. I can give you all kinds of scriptures and stuff, and I try to tell everybody, you know, that it's not our faith that saves us; it's the faith of Jesus Christ, His faith. And I can take you through a whole bunch of scriptures, but I want to take you to three stories real quick that Jesus Christ was talking, and these stories, how they'll give you assurance. Luke 15, we'll start in verse 1. Then drew near unto him the publicans and sinners for to hear him, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Those are prideful people. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if you lose one of them, doeth not leave the 99 in the wilderness to go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he is come home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than 99 just persons which need no repentance. Now he gives another story. Neither what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she loses one piece, doeth not light the candle and sweep the house, and seeking diligently to find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, I have found the piece of silver which I lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, a certain man had two sons. Okay. This man has two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me my portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after the younger son gathered all together, he took his journey into the far country, and there wasted his substance with rioting living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And when he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him into the fields, he fed to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many servants of my father's have bread enough to spare that I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servant, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost, and now he's found. And they begin to marry. See, there's victory. When one of the children has fallen and they get back up, they realize that the father is always true to receive his own. Notice in these stories, in the first two stories, the thing or person that is lost, it's not a person gathering its things. It's a person that has them already. There was 99, there was 100 sheep, he says. There's 100 sheep, okay? And one of them strayed off, right? He could have easily said, I got plenty, I got 99. That one wants to leave me, let him leave me. I got a 99 left. I don't need that one. No. They were all his sheep. The lady that lost her piece of silver, it was hers already. It wasn't that she found it or went out to God. A lot of people, they see this story as going after the one, the lost one. No. In these stories, he's showing this is a person that has these. They're his. He's not looking for a new one. They belong to him. And the 99 sheep that were with him, and the one that left it straight off, it still was his, even though it left. And sometimes that's how we are. If you're born again, believer, saved by the blood of Christ Jesus. See, the Bible talks about disobedient children and obedient children. And see, he says that story is not a person the one that was left wasn't his. It was his. It always was his. And if you notice, when he gets it, he puts it on his shoulders and he carries it back. And what does he go? He says, all my friends rejoice with me. How many times when one of us falls into sin and stops coming to church, and when they come back, we don't rejoice? Nah, they're back. The Bible says that when one come back, everybody rejoice. Look at the story of the prodigal son. Okay, the parable of the lost son. It's a picture. A picture of someone that has received salvation, and they are a son. But the son has got lost in the world. He left, okay, and has left the care of the father. But when he's recovered and he repented and he turned, how quick the father was overjoyed to have him back. See, a lot of brothers and sisters in the Lord think when they have strayed off, when they have left, that they're unworthy to come back. The Bible says, and Paul gives example. He shows it's like almost an allowance that you will fall into temptation. Because we're in this physical life and we're not perfect. We can't walk perfect. And the Apostle Paul gives allowances for other Christians that are mature, not one that goes and real quick, oh man, did you see what they did? Did you see how they are? To go quickly to throw stones at them and to write them off. He says, ye which are spiritual, that's a mature Christian. You know, there's Christians that I've known that are babies in Christ. They've been saved 30, 40 years and they're still babies. I was a baby for a long time in Christ. Until I matured. And the only way a Christian matures is a Christian that lives their life out through faith, through victory. What does that mean? That means a person that is humble, a humble person, a humble Christian that's not quick to point fingers. A Christian that goes and helps that person and restores them in a spirit of meekness, lowness, love. And takes the time to help him or she through the things that they've went through. And see, I've talked about eternal security, and I've given all kinds of things, but I said, you know what, let's talk about a story. And this story is very simple. These three stories. He's talking about a person that has something that has strayed off, or a person that has lost something. That's the same as a true believer. A born-again believer. When you become a child of God, you can never become an unchild of God because you're born of Christ. And the message here is that you're eternally secure even though you have fallen into temptation. And when you see others fall into temptation, to help restore that person. The Bible says, whatsoever is not of faith is of sin. If whatever you're doing in your life, and you're not sure that Christ is in it, then you're not walking in faith. You know how many people have told me, oh man, can I drink? The Bible says, you know, they drank wine, and they did all that. They're trying to justify their things. The Bible says, whatsoever of faith is not of sin. Whatever you're doing, you're not 100% sure that God is in it, then leave it alone. Don't do it. See, the flesh will scream out at you. It will scream at you. See, it will talk to you. Look what all you've given up. Look at all the things you do. Look, is that how your God treats you? You don't think the flesh will talk to you like that? Oh yeah, it will. See, the flesh never forgets what the flesh has had. It remembers. It remembers everything that it's ever had. The flesh lives for the moment. The flesh lives for the moment of pleasure. It knows no higher goal than the satisfaction of itself. See, You can live a life coming to church, and when you see another believer fall into sin, the flesh will scream at you. It never forgets what it's had. It's the addiction of the flesh. I'm talking about the flesh, the addiction of the flesh. Whatever you've had, whatever you've been into through your life. If you were a drinker, don't think that you will never be. That drinking won't come back. Hey, man, that guy at Cold, I saw him carrying out a story at Cold Beer. Man, that looked good. You think that, oh man, their marriage just fell apart. They must not be believers. Hey, don't think that the flesh won't come into you and say, hey, did you see that girl? That woman? The flesh will be there to tempt you, always. And so, let's go back to Romans. Romans 8, where he says, we as believers, he says, if I walk after the flesh, then I'll die. See, therefore there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you're a believer and you walk after the Spirit, there can be nothing else for you. You're a believer. You're saved. You're secure with Christ. There can be no judgment against you. But you can, and you will go through some things in this life as a Christian. You will go through things. You will battle your flesh. So the lesson of Galatians. Here's the lesson of Galatians, verse 6. The lesson. It says, if a man think of himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Haven't you ever seen spiritual pride? Haven't you ever seen people that are prideful? I know, there's a saying I heard one time. An arrogant man is a foolish man. A man, if you know an arrogant man, you know a foolish man, because he's full of pride. And the Bible says in Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better is it to be of a humble spirit with lowly than to divide the spoils with the proud. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whosoever trusted in the Lord, happy is he. It says in chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfastly in faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto the eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthened, settled you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The Bible says that he resists the proud, but give grace to the humble. See, humility is not something you can just reach out and grab. Humility is something that you grow into, like your growth in the Lord. Humility is something that you can't just... It's something that you're growing into. Because a humble spirit can receive from the Holy Spirit. He says he resists the proud. What's the proud? The proud are some people that say, that can't ever happen to me. I can't fall. I can't. My marriage is strong. My marriage will stay. I'll never go back into drinking. I'll never go back into smoking. I'll never leave the church. A prideful person has set himself up for a fall. A prideful person is a person that is not of a meek heart. It's not a person that will help somebody. So the Bible says, consider yourself that you can fall. But if you keep your eyes on Jesus, how can you fall? How can you fall if you keep your eyes on Jesus? The Bible says that he's the captain of our salvation. He's the anchor of our soul. It says that he says that all that come to me, I want no wise cast out. He says that all that I've set free, they're free indeed. He says, he that believeth in me shall have eternal life. And so let's go back to the book of Galatians. Here's the lesson of Galatians. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fall, of a man is overtaken by his flesh, by the desires of the world. It says, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thou also be tempted. Consider yourself. That's how you keep from falling. You consider yourself, you're humble. When you go to help somebody, or when you see another brother or sister fall, you're not proud. You're considering yourself. Paul said, consider yourself also, lest you be tempted. It says right here, bear one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? To love one another. He says that the love will keep you from a multitude of sins. And I always wonder, what does that mean? Well, if you love somebody, you won't talk about them. If you love somebody, you won't steal from them. If you love somebody, you'll be happy when they are succeeding in life, or they get a new car, or they get a job promotion. You won't be jealous of them. If you love somebody, you won't gossip about them. If you love somebody, you won't lie to them. And I said, wow, now I understand how that means that the love will cover a multitude of sins. He'll keep you from a lot of things. And he says right here in verse 4, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. What's implied here is a person that has left, like in those parables, in those stories that Jesus Christ told. A person that has left has strayed off or gotten lost out in the world. And when the prodigal son realized that he was far from his father, and that he needed, the Bible says that he repented. He came back. He saw that he sinned against God and against his father, and he came back. And a person that is recovered, the Bible says, there's rejoicing. And all the friends come and rejoice because, you know, I see so many brothers and sisters out there. They bite and devour each other. They instead of helping in a spirit of meekness, they kick them when they're down. And sometimes the people that are down, the ones that believe that they can lose their salvation, they never truly recover, because they think that, you know, how can I come back? I'm not worthy. They look at themselves as lost. And I've seen so many that have fallen that haven't recovered, because they got their eyes on themselves. And the Bible says that there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. For everyone that is born again or saved of God is secure. And he gives allowances that we will fall, we will go through things in life. It's not that we won't, but he's giving allowances for other Christians to help them. So here's a question: how do I set my eyes on Jesus? Think about him. Pray to him. Sing about him. Tell others about him. Let him become the center of your life. Let him become precious to you. Study how Jesus dealt with people, and how he did it with the power of the Holy Ghost as a humble man, and how he helped everyone with a humble spirit, because there's a lot of things that we go through in life. I'm sure y'all have seen a lot of people that have gone through things, and you know, we sometimes we don't want to go and help them because we're worried about what they'll say to us, that we're judging, or we just want to come and poke at them. But you know, the Bible says a Christian in a spirit of meekness help restore one, but consider thyself also. And you know, the lesson of that is to be humble. That's how you keep from falling. Always consider yourself, that we can fall also. And you know, if anyone here that is not trusted Christ, that is wondering, how can I have that assurance? How can I know that if I mess up, or you know, if I fall into temptation, that I'm still a child of God? How can I know that, you know, even though I fell back into my sin, that I can still be in God's good graces? The Bible's clear. It says that everyone that come to Him, He will no wise cast out. And if you here have not truly believed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you can come talk to Alan or me, or you know, talk to Pastor Brian. But it's very important. Salvation is a real thing. It's a personal thing. And salvation is something that He says that there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Because I'll tell you something, we are all susceptible to falling. Every one of us. Every one of us can be tempted by our flesh. Everything that you've ever done, like I said, the flesh never forgets it. It never forgets it. And it's ready to rise up against you anytime and anywhere. And so, be of a humble spirit. Know that Christ is your Savior, and that there is no condemnation. And when you fall, get back up. Don't sit there and dwell in your misfortunes. Don't sit there and you know, let all these things overtake you. Because the Bible says that we are more conquerors through Christ, even through our faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So, anyone that is looking to understand more, or if you're unsure of you're saved, or you're not 100% sure that if you fall, if you're saved today or lost tomorrow, there's hope in Christ. Because the Bible says there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So, God bless each and every one of y'all. We'll pray. Heavenly Father, I come before You this night, this evening, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that this message would be encouragement to those that are saved by the blood of Christ, that those that are born again believers, and they would have assurance, knowing that whether they fall short today or tomorrow, or they fall back into temptation, that another believer would come and help them, Lord, to restore them, and that they can get back on track, because it's not what we do, it's what You did for us, Father. It's for Your blood that was shed on the cross. And I pray if there's anyone that is not saved here, or that is confused, or is not sure of where they will spend eternity, Father, that today would be a day where they would have understanding, that they would come to know you and to believe on you, Father. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. And I ask, Lord, that you would continue to bless this church and bless my brothers and sisters in the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Prayer request? You can do it. Write them down.
I'll gladly let you do it. I'll just use that. I guess he's got this one on. Oh, no. Here we go. Yep. Prayer request. Let me. Not everybody wants. Tammy Brennan's sister. Kathy, do you know the last name? Okay. Tammy Brennan's sister, Kathy. Heart problem and maybe a heart cath. Other prayer requests. Yes, sir. God's will. Right. Will A. Event, continued prayer for his job situation. Good to see you here this evening. Other prayer requests. Good to see a lot of folks here tonight. We have a nice crowd tonight. I think it's double of our normal Wednesday night service, so. Kayla's mom, Debbie Moreno, she had another treatment today. Her blood work came back good. Everything's looking good, but she's still on schedule to have surgery on her lymph node or such in the next couple of months and more treatments. But she had a good checkup and things, her blood and all that, her blood pressure, heart, that all checked okay, and she had another treatment. So keep praying for her because she's got quite a few things to go yet. Through May and June. So, Debbie Moreno, she's on your prayer list. No, I don't have a new one. There's one here. So what do you want to? There's some right there. I don't know. Ben, you want to? In case somebody doesn't have one at least of what's on there, I don't know if that's a new one, but there are some right there. Other prayer requests? Yes, ma'am. So recovery for the first name? Lisa Parkinson. Thank you for being loud. I don't have my ear aids in. Lisa Parkinson, recovery from, you said, pneumonia and
COVID.
Recovery. Other prayer request. I know I saw another hand. Yes, ma'am, Evelyn. What's the name? Jarvis. B-I-S. For salvation. Amen, little sister. You keep up that work. I just love hearing them little ones telling people about Jesus. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Judy, halfway down on the prayer list. She's doing well. Amen. What a. Good. And was Judy to take off? Judy, that's a praise. And I have a praise while somebody else is waiting to raise their hand. I'm going to share my praise. I got to go to the jail yesterday. Been out for 13 months, and it was amazing. And I had only one young man in there, but I had three young ladies. I can't count. Three young ladies, and it was a real wonderful service, a blessing to me. I think they got something out of it. I know I did. But it was great. So I appreciate the prayers because I need them. I'm just trying to be a servant there. And I don't know when the prison's going to come back, but they told me about a month ago. I guess they're still working on their plan. And I got tested. I'm negative. Usually you want a good thing, but anyway. So hopefully they don't have to test me every week. But anyhow. So thanks the Lord for that. And pray for those young ladies. I won't share the three names, but I don't know for sure if any of the three were saved, but I know the Lord was dealing with them hard, all three of them. So pray for the young ladies at Karnes County Jail I shared with, and one of them had already listened to some of the radio, and they were anxious to listen to Camel Radio, so that was cool. Any other? For Pastor Brian, for his sciatica, his back. Hope he didn't want me to mind me announcing that. Pastor Brian. Pastor Brian for his back, recovery, health. Wonderful to have some visitors here. My brother in Christ, I'm going to praise him right here, Rudy Vargas and his wife, Julie. I got it. I met him several months ago in Kennedy. He has a ministry, does, in Victoria. I don't know how many of them, but they feed homeless, correct? So pray for that ministry. It's called what again? Heaven Sent Ministries. So pray for the Heaven Sent Ministries, and glad y'all are here. Other prayer requests? Yes, sir. You got to raise up with me, and I'm half blind, can't see out of the other eye, and I can't hear out of either ear, so holler at me. Unspoken for William Avant. Oops, I'm sorry I spoke it. That was a joke. For William Avant. Other prayer request? Nope. Last call. Gather in your groups and let's pray for these folks. Thanks for the wonderful message, Josh.